By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks exists to glorify God by the pursuing of truth in God's Word and applying it to the issues and the challenges that are facing the church today. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church of Hudson, North Carolina. For more information about the church, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and after a a short hiatus from the podcast world, we are back after a few weeks off with Pastor Robert Setzer across from me, and beside me tonight running the controls is Nathan Phillips. We're excited to talk about this subject tonight that's developed lately in the last couple weeks. You know us, and you know we tend to enjoy things that are in current events and how they affect the church. And so one thing we're going to talk about as far as a blanket subject tonight is church growth. And, you know, are people willing to do anything that it takes to grow their church? And is that the ultimate definition of church success? And so it's a lot of philosophical questions that we're going to talk about tonight in light of God's Word, of course. And Nathan, let's start off with our first case study here.
Yeah, Matt, it is awesome to be back. We have been on a short little break for some summer weeks here. We've been very, very busy, but we are back and ready to talk about a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of subjects to talk about today. There's been a lot of stuff in the news, and like you said, I think if we're going to paint with the broad strokes here, we can talk about church growth, church worship. We're still on this theme of worship. It's very important for the church today. We've been on it for a while now, and it's hard to get past it because it's everything for us. It's what we aim to do every Sunday and every other time that we're in the church. It's something that we should do 24/7 with our lives, and so we must do it properly and know how to do it properly. So our first, I guess, news story, if we want to call it that, just current events happening we're going to talk about is someone we've talked about on the podcast before, and that's Andy Stanley. He has recently been at the Global Leadership Summit, which isn't Christian in its origin. It is a secular, leadership type of conference or something like that, Pastor. But he's made some pretty maybe not crazy, but definitely some comments here. Unique remarks here that have sparked some quite a bit of internet debate, and definitely, you know, perked our ears and eyes up when we saw it. So I'll kick it over to you and let you talk about some of the stuff he said. But Stanley is talking at this leadership conference, and he's talking about church growth. So, Pastor, go ahead and.
Well, at the conference, Nathan, he referred to North Point, that's their church, as a, quote, uniquely better product, unquote, than other congregations that existed in the Atlanta area. And as a result, quote again, it grew like crazy. He said nobody was doing church the way we were doing church in the Southeast United States. Now, I don't know. Obviously, he's an expert on this subject, this concept of church growth. But I think that it's a very valid study to talk about. When you say church growth, are we only interested in filling the pews? Are we only interested in getting people to come to our church to view our product? Well, I don't think it's a product. We have been so self-absorbed for so many years in America. Whatever happened to the whole concept of coming to church to worship Almighty God, to exalt Him, magnify Him, glorify Him? Why does it have to be, you know, a certain, you know, genre of music, the most contemporary types of styles and fads to lure people in, to bring people in? And another thing, too, this whole concept of multi-campus, where where we build, or rent facilities in a number of different towns, satellites, if you please, around our big mother campus. And we beam the successfully charismatic, popular pastor into all of these various campuses. I mean, if you want to play this out to its end, why don't we just choose the top five men in America and the rest of us can just go resign? Beam them down, Scotty. Yeah. I mean, just, you know.
It is a valid point. I don't get from just a standpoint of being a member in something. I don't get the draw to that, the impersonal nature of that, that I never get to see the lead pastor in person. I never get to talk to him about problems or issues or anything like that. I never get the opportunity to shake his hand or see how he interacts with other people. That's something to me that's worth a lot. And that's one thing about the multi-site campuses here. And obviously, we're not hating on growth or the fact that if you have a successful church, that's great. That here's the thing that he says. Another thing in this conference speaking role here, I guess he took. I don't know what to call it. It's not a message. It's just a seminar, I guess, on leadership. So he says more churches will continue to explore multi-sites not as a tool for growth, but as a means of taking the church to more people and taking a healthy church and reproducing it in other places. And he says it's not a tool for growth. Isn't that growth? Isn't taking a church somewhere else and wanting your ideas and your stuff out there and your way of church and producing it somewhere else, that's got the idea of growth, right? That's not just taking a healthy church. I don't get his point right there as he's talking about using the multi-sites. And I think that's just an impersonal thing. And the thing that raises our eyebrows is kind of the brashness of the comments. And, you know, and he's gotten in trouble in the past, you know, talking about this. I can't remember the exact quote. We talked about it on a podcast, numerous episodes ago, on how he kind of deigned small churches.
Maybe something to the effect of there's no such thing as a good little church.
A good little church, right, yeah. Paraphrasing that probably quote. But that is something that he has said in the past. There's no such thing as that. And I think there's numerous fallacies within that assertion there. But, you know, I think, to me, that if this is a leadership conference and you look at all the other people that were there, it's clearly about growth. And if that's your number one priority, I guess that's fine, but in a way. But that's what we're here to discuss today. Is that the number one priority? Is that what we should focus on all the time? And how do we feel about that?
All right. Well, that kind of leads us in, Nathan, to another very popular couple of men in the Christian world, in our nation, a man by the name of Chris Hill, who served under T.D. Jakes in his church and apparently was extremely successful with youth ministry, went on out from there and was pastoring a church. And, of course, anybody can, if you have any question about this, you can just go to Christian Post and read the whole article. That's where basically I picked it up at.
You're willing to Google search away from all the information we're talking about.
Right, right. And so basically here's what happened. Regrettably, he was immoral with a woman in the church there. Let me just read it like this. His own wife was the one that sent the text out, a mass text to church members, that she was able to verify that her husband carried on an affair with this, and I won't mention the lady's name, but this lady who was evidently in their church. And so I'm assuming he had to step down from the church. But anyway, about 3 months removed from that, evidently now he feels as though he's ready to go back into ministry. And T.D. Jakes evidently has granted his blessing, laid hands on him, and declared restoration, basically. Here was the verse, though, Nathan and Matt, that that kind of caught my attention. They were, I think, using the text from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we believe that. We believe that. I believe that. Yes, I'm so thankful for that verse because we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. And we need to make confession. And God does forgive. And God does restore. But what we're talking about in particular now, so not something that is alleged. When your own wife texts the church, basically, and says what you have done, you know, and then to say, well, I've been restored basically after 3 months. We're not questioning, not for 1 second, his opportunity, ability to be forgiven. But is he qualified to go back into a preaching ministry after 3 months? That's the question.
Yeah, I think my first problem with all of this is the use of that verse. That's the immediate context of this passage of Scripture is not church discipline. That's not something that you quote and you say, well, you know, we've had this issue and now, you know, God's faithful and forgives us of our sins. That the context here is talking about really some of this subject here of saying we have God and walking in darkness. And I think that verse should be really, really taken to heart here and very much considered. Am I walking in darkness and just saying that I have the light? And not so much a church discipline verse, but a very self-reflective verse here. So I think that's my first issue with it. The second issue is like what you said, it's a very short amount of time for a person to turn around and say, oh, I've just changed my life completely.
Let me clarify my position. I am not saying that a man in such cases as Chris Hill cannot go back in to serve in the Lord. I'm not saying he cannot preach.
Right.
What I'm talking about in particular is pastoral ministry. Here is Paul talking to Titus. He said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city. If any be blameless, husband of one wife, not one wife at a time, but a husband of one wife, having faithful children. And Matt, I think you alluded to it a while ago. You know, pastors, you're preaching to men, you're preaching to women, you're preaching to children. And it's not just your message. It's not just whether you can, you know, whether you're a great orator or whether you're charismatic and persuasive in your speaking abilities or in your personality. You know, it's also a lifestyle. You know, it's very important. So I draw a distinction between preaching and pastoring.
Yeah, and with those verses in mind, I would have to agree with you. I think, and just in my opinion here, and not really opinion, but what I get from exegesis and things like that in the text itself is that I believe it does disqualify a man. I don't think, and you can look at it from the biblical standpoint of kind of a disqualification, but you can also look at it on the point from a human standpoint and say, oh, well, you're just not forgiving enough, and you're not, you're looking at only the bad. But that's always going to be in the back of my mind as I'm listening to him, as I'm inspecting his life, and I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't feel that way. I think it mars a lot of things, and maybe someone would just say, well, that's you, and you should get past that. But I'm with you. I don't see a problem with him, you know, serving in a role, but as a pastor, I'm not so sure of. I think it's just like the Bible says, we are held doubly accountable in that position, and that's something that a man must consider before he makes some tragic mistake like that.
Sure.
So along those lines, let's ask this question: is there, for lack of a better way to describe it, is there a standard set amount of time where someone should be removed from ministry before they are restored back into what they're doing? And that's if they can come back to the ministry and still be effective.
That's a hard question.
It is a hard question.
It's a hard question scripturally. It's a hard question psychologically. But I don't think 3 months on any in any given in a shape, form, or fashion is enough time to say, oh, I've completely, you know, changed my way of thinking. I completely changed my frame of mind. I don't think psychologically that would, you know, no psychologist, and I'm not saying they're any type of like grand authority, but no psychologist would say that you're healed in 3 months after, you know, suffering from any type of mental illness, like, and I guess illness is a strong word in that sense, but mental problems. And that's, let's face it, I mean, it's what it is. It's a war within yourself. It's a sure. war within yourself mentally. And yeah, I mean, we can say what it is. It's sin, and it's, you know, really not trusting God. And all of that, we can say all of that, but it is a mental state. And I don't think, just in my opinion, 3 months is enough time to say, oh, yeah, he's good to go. Let's put our blessing on him and put him right back out there. Because the man may not be healed.
To him. Obviously, you know, a man of this caliber with this ability, he can certainly provide for his family outside mm-hmm. of the ministry. There's no question about that right there. And once again, we're not saying he could never be in ministry again. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you, Nathan and Matt, that there needs to be time for adequate healing. There needs to be a time where he and his wife can appear together and she can embrace him and say, hey, listen, I have confidence in this man.
3 months isn't enough time for her to say even I'm going to stay with him. She might be saying that now, but the repercussions of that, you know, are just going to grow and grow and grow. And once again, we're not judging anyone. I'm not judging their hearts or minds or anything, but I think, the Bible tells us to judge in the sense of the way Christians walk,
we have to in the sense of being discerning.
And the big point here is that these two guys we've mentioned so far are, and Stanley didn't do anything, you know, this, but they're similar in the sense that these are two leading voices in evangelicalism.
Sure.
These are two of the biggest churches in America and two of the biggest ministries. And when you do things like that and say things like Stanley have done, then you obviously bring a lot of attention to yourself and, I mean, get people like us talking about it.
So that brings up the next question as we begin to, you know, pivot towards our focus here as we get ready to close. So how do we measure church growth? How do we define church growth, Pastor? And we've had this discussion so many times,
man,
and it's so much fun to talk about because there's so many ways to define it other than by a number in the pew.
Well, I still go back, and I have a problem with this whole mentality of just making decisions. Let's make some decisions. You know, so-and-so made a decision. Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad mm-hmm. you did. And I do not believe in progressive salvation. But I do believe Jesus said, follow me. That's more than just a one-time decision, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're to be followers of Christ. Jesus is the one that said, go out and make disciples. You don't make disciples in a 3-minute decision, Matt. You don't.
Right.
And so we talk about church growth. I'm afraid that we've just allowed too much of a capitalistic business model to try to overtake maybe what the Lord meant by church.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. We are a success-driven culture, and we want feel-good stories as well. And you have both of these aspects here in these two stories. You have, you know, obviously results with Stanley. And, I mean, Jake's church as well and Hill's ministry there. You have, and let's just face it, that's what we want. We are a very pragmatic culture, and that may be even almost a religion here in America, is pragmatism. Mm. What works, and we'll believe it. And you see that with this type of churches and campuses. I think the jury's still out to me on how all of this shakes down, how all of this lasts. We know what happens with Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Episcopals. We know that we've been around for a long, long time now. I think one thing that's going to be interesting is the non-denominational type movement that is really these two churches, even though T.D. Jakes, I know, leans more, I guess, Pentecostal. Is that right?
I'm not really sure.
I'm not sure. You can look at their mission statement online, and it seems pretty solid. But I don't know. I admittedly don't know exactly where they line up there. That's my point. I don't know where they line up.
Matt's question of what is church growth? This thing goes back to fundamental churches years and years ago too, that were rated as some of the largest churches in America. A number of them. But where are they at today? I mean, I could talk to you about the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Mm-hmm. There's other churches you can talk about. Now, that's not denigrating those churches. That's not denigrating the pastors whatsoever. But I'm just simply saying, when you talk about church growth, it's more. I think there needs to be something said about longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something more than just being said of, hey, we've had X number of converts this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious. I guess my point with the growth thing is that I'm just curious to see where, like, North Point and where Elevation and where all of these, like, major campuses in America end up in a couple years. Is it something that – is this multi-site thing something that loses its luster after a while? Is it something that a lot of people want a more personal experience? And I'm one of those people that does. I don't crave my face in a 5,000 person crowd. Like, that's just not something to me that I can see myself getting too much help from, other than a flashy, you know, preacher or something like that.
Is there something to be said, as we begin to close, is there something to be said about a multi-site location as a satellite of a church that has its own pastor on site? Would that be...
I don't think that's... I'm not sure that's multi-site in their concept.
Sure.
I think multi-site under their definition is this direct extension. I know what you're talking about, which is what Highland Park used to do years ago.
Probably more of a church plant.
They had chapels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the mother church may have, you know, put some seed money out there, but each of those churches, every one of those churches had a pastor. They were not beaming in, you know, either audio or video of the pastor from Highland Park.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that would, to me, that would be better than watching a screen, you know, but...
Yeah, who do you want when you're in the hospital? You're going to get a cardboard cut out of a pastor who you watch every week? Or do you want the person, like you said, Nathan, the personal touch and the love and care of a pastor who knows your family, knows you, and spends time with you to counsel?
The concept of New Testament church planting is, yes, help those churches, mm-hmm. but with the ultimate purpose of, they're going to grow, they're getting up, they're going to be their own church.
Right.
Their own independent body of believers. They're not, this is not going to be a mini denomination.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and so to tie it all together, I mean, I think you have two news stories here that one definitely relates to growth, the other one kind of relates to the result of growth and something that has national attention because you're such a big organization. So the jury's still out on a lot of things on this subject, but I think one thing, you know, we can hang our hat on here is contemplating worship constantly and how we must go about that.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have today for Ambassador Talks. Are you interested in what we're talking about? Maybe you have a news story you'd like to share that we haven't talked about or like us to talk about or comment on. Email us at ambassadortalks@gmail.com and we'll be happy to respond as soon as we can. Remember, you can share this podcast with a friend by going to our Facebook page at Ambassador Talks or by connecting with us individually on Facebook. You can also see the episode on Ambassador Baptist Church's Facebook page, as we will share it there this week. Until next time, for our pastor, for Nathan Phillips, this is Matt Baker, and you've been listening to Ambassador Talks, where the discussion is always outside the box, but inside the Word. Thanks for listening.